34. Using the Gift. At the last moment, Octavia darted out of the way and the claws thudded into the ground, tearing up the grass. She took a moment to look right at Modo, and he was certain it was an admonishing glance. Then she dodged a second blow. She was trying to send a message to him. But what? He slapped the side of his head. Of course! She was providing a distraction. Modo leapt from the shoulder to the head of the giant and slugged Fur in the jaw, knocking the cigar out of his mouth. Fur lashed out at Modo, his hand clicking an inch from Modo's throat because the harness prevented him from reaching any further. Modo dashed to the other side of Fur and struck another blow, then backed away.
"Who are you?"
Fur shouted, pulling on a lever. Modo had a sudden thought. What if he knocked Fur unconscious? Would the machine collapse and crush the children? He heard something behind him, and turned just in time to be swatted into the air by the giant's hand. He landed at the far end of the shoulder deck, slipping off its edge. He hung there by his fingers, until he found a place to dig in his toes so he could cling to the side of the shoulder. He was able to swing partway down the back, out of Fur's sight. From there, he had an excellent view of the filaments in the spine, and the energy that was flowing through them, making the machine walk and grasp. The wires seemed to glow more brightly than ever. But what was the true source? He climbed down a bit lower, looking at the blank-eyed children. The tincture had changed them, their faces set in cold anger. He thought of Oscar Featherstone, and how Oscar felt that the other side of him, the side that attacked his father, was full of rage, anger. That was what connected these children. Modo clambered over the ribs of the shuddering giant as it lurched left, right, like a drunken sailor. Its shoulders bumped Victoria Tower, and it lumbered through trees, snapping off thick branches. He examined the twisted wolf-like faces of the children, their hate-filled, blank eyes. Maybe the anger was part of what powered them. And if it was, how could he stop it? He had his own anger. He knew what it was like to be forsaken, forgotten. They had that in common. Always hungry, always wanting a warmer place to sleep. Somehow Dr. Hyde had opened the tap to this in each child. It became clear to Modo what he must do. He swung down and stopped directly in front of a girl with blonde hair and hung there by one hand. With his other hand, he removed his mask, revealing the full ugliness of his face. The girl's eyes were blank, staring past him, and he thought perhaps his intuition had been wrong. "I understand," he said. "I know your anger. You don't have to listen to the voices." There was no reaction. Maybe the tincture's hold was too strong to break. After all, it had forced Oscar to kill his own father. No, there had to be a way. Modo reached a trembling hand and cupped the girl's cheek. "There are people who care about you, who love you," he whispered. "I care about you." The girl's face softened, and she looked directly at him and did not flinch at the sight of his face. She let out a sigh and stopped moving her legs up and down, stopped powering her section of the machine. The filaments around her grew dull, and the gyroscope slowed to a stop. Modo moved over to the next child, a boy, and looked right into his brown eyes. "I understand you. Your anger. Listen to your own voice." This time it happened more quickly. The boy looked. He saw. He understood. And slowed his movements. "I understand," Modo said, crawling from child to child. Each one looked at his face and didn't shudder. He smiled at each. "There is a better way." They began to whisper to one another, as though passing on a long-forgotten secret. The whispers grew to a chattering. Soon the giant's legs slowed and stopped. More and more children began to babble. The machine stood still. Modo had brought the giant to a stop only a few feet past Parliament and teetering on the edge of the Thames. If it fell, all the children would drown. Fur was shouting from above. Modo put his mask back on and climbed up. Fur was out of his harness, running around the shoulder deck, yelling at the children. Then he pulled on the levers.
Move! Move!
Bullets ricocheted off the metal plates of the giant. Modo turned, intending to shout at the soldiers to stop, but none of them were firing. There was a droning in the distance. The bullets seemed to be coming out of the very air itself. Modo dashed across the deck to give Fur a push, but the man whipped around.
You! You're Modo. Gibbons told us about an agent who wore a mask. I've torn bigger men in two.
In one leap, Fur was next to Modo, unleashing a steam-powered punch that smashed his mask to pieces and knocked him to the edge of the giant's shoulder. Modo threw a hand up to his cheek, feeling as though his jaw had been broken. His face! It was exposed to Fur, to the world. He thought of leaping across to Parliament and escaping, but instead rose to his feet and turned to his enemy. When Fur got his first clear look at Modo's face, he hesitated.
Are you the devil?
He asked.
No, you can't be. Not even the devil could be so ugly.
Modo had expected him to be cruel, but his words still cut deep into him. The thrumming was closer now, and behind Fur, Modo could see a conical grey airship drifting out of the fog. Steel plating protected the front, and a large rotor powered it. Hackendottir was in the carriage, brandishing a rifle. Three men stood around her, including Dr. Hyde, who gazed sadly at the giant. Beside him, a man wearing goggles lowered a rope ladder.
Jump, Mr. Fur! Jump!
He hollered.
I'll track you down, devil boy, Fur said, giving him a sideways look. And I'll throttle you until your ugly face turns blue. That's my promise.
He leapt, grabbing onto the dangling ladder. Hackendottir fired at Modo, almost hitting him. He was still so angry at Fur, at all of them, for what they had done to the children, that he bounded to the edge of the giant, jumped, and latched onto Fur's leg. The airship drew away, taking them over the Thames. Fur kicked at him, but Modo tightened his grip.
You won't escape, he cried.
Hackendottir aimed her rifle, shouting,
Get out of the way, Fur! I need a clear shot!
Fur reached down to pry Modo off his leg, but just then one side of the ladder snapped and they swung outward, dangling by the remaining half. Fur growled and tried to climb higher, but the rest of the rope broke. Fur's hands found Modo's throat as they tumbled through the sky and fell into the Thames.